Coming up on today's Talk of the Rock, KMXT chats with two of the business owners behind this weekend's Uptown Shop the Rock. The festival will focus on businesses along Mill Bay Road, from the Kodiak Island Smokehouse to Cost Savers. Sarah Culbertson from the Frame Shop and Alex Turner from Alexandra's Salon join. Then, Kodiak Teen Court is recruiting for its next round of youth judges, prosecuting attorneys, and defense attorneys. You'll hear from program leader Andrott and a couple of Teen Court participants. Now, coming up, Alex Turner talks about how Uptown Shop the Rock got started.
We were trying to get it so that people could get out and park and walk. And then we just kept extending it because there's just so many great shops uptown. And I feel like as there are great shops downtown, we also want to just show that there's a lot of business that's moved uptown. And I think it's going to be a fun night to kind of join the art walk in with a fun night of music and food and local shopping and some great deals.
Yeah, and we kind of focused on the uptown area, but that's not to say downtown couldn't do a Shop the Rock either. We just thought, like Alex said, it'd be good if people could actually walk for once, you know, keep it close by. So yeah.
Okay, so are we talking about Shop the Rock? Is that the event name?
It's called Uptown Shop the Rock, but there could be a Downtown Shop the Rock.
We're hoping that by next year, this is more of a kind of more inclusive and has all the businesses and a lot more of 4-H and AK Teach and all these places that kind of want to join in and make it more of a fall festival. I think that's kind of our, now that it's become what it is going to be this week, we'll take it from there and see what happens. But people seem to be really excited that there's an event taking place in fall that we've never had before, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's and also it's really nice of the Christian school to provide some daycare for mm-hmm. Friday night. So if parents kind of want to go out and enjoy walking on Friday night, and then they can come back on Saturday and enjoy some of the fun kids events that we have going on. There's going to be a bounce house at Grand Slam, and 4-H is going to be going to have a booth at the bounce house in Grand Slam's parking lot.
Mm-hmm. They're working on the petting zoo, but I don't know that that's going to happen this year. Definitely hoping for next year. And then AK Teach is opening their doors Friday and Saturday, and they're going to be doing rock painting and possibly some other crafts for free for kids, along with the food booths that we're going to have there. The Doughboy truck is there, and Taco 49, and
River of Life Church.
Yeah.
And we're going to have the ice cream truck, or it's more of a Jeep. Mom and Pop's ice cream.
We're talking about the hand-dipped ice cream?
No, she's out of town, darn it.
Bummer.
No, it's pre-packaged ice cream. But
still, it's ice cream.
Yeah, yeah. It's ice cream. Kodakians love their ice cream.
That's and then true. The Grand Slam Toys is going to be having cotton candy next to their bounce house. And we'll have a popcorn machine going and trying to just make it fun and for everybody.
Yeah, and if people want to know what the specials and sales and prizes are, those will be posted by each of the participating businesses on their Facebook pages, their websites. You'll probably be able to find it on Friends of Kodiak pretty easily if you just do a search for Uptown Shop the Rock, because everybody will be including that in their advertising.
I'm really excited about the logo contest that we did.
Amanda Davis won. She really turned in a very
pretty much covered every base of Kodiak Island that you could, I think. And
yeah, very thorough logo and beautiful.
What we did was we asked Kodiak to send us some artwork that encompassed shopping local along with anything about the town. And she really pulled it together with there's everything in there. The berries, fox, deer antlers, the island, the compass. But we had some other awesome entries as well. It was hard to choose, but I'm excited to get that printed on t-shirts. So we'll be selling those t-shirts actually.
At the concert, which is going to be Friday night in the KA parking lot. Thank you, KA, for letting us use your parking lot.
Yes, thank you.
Drew Sablone is going to be playing at 7 o'clock in the KA parking lot on Friday night. He's kind of like rockabilly, bluegrass. He writes his own music as well. So we're really excited to have him participate in this. So if, you know, you couples that want to come out and enjoy a Friday night, you can get some really good food, check out some awesome prizes and sales, and also hear some live music for free, which is always fun.
Yeah.
And so it sounds like there are a lot of different like attractions and rides and things like that, or things you can interact with, basically. Are they going to be centered in like one area along the road?
Pretty much. KEA is going to have the music, and we're hoping people get up and dance. The weather's so far looking good. We're really hoping it stays that way. And then the food is kind of in between, probably like the Yamaha shop down to the KEA building. It's kind of, the food trucks will all be located through there. And then Happy Sushi Time will be open down by Island Espresso.
And Noodles as well. You can always go to Noodles.
So we'll have those places, but the most of the food trucks will be right in that walking distance so that it's easy to go back and forth. And
yeah, so we'll have a few different park and walk spots. The Flyby has graciously let us use their parking lot as a park and walk spot. Then Tyler Randolph as well has allowed us to use his parking lot as a park and walk spot. And Cost Savers has a lot right next to them that is open for parking and walking, and the Frame Shop as well.
And Strawberry Fields.
Oh, and Strawberry Fields. Great. So
I'm thankful that all the businesses came together and chose to do this. I think it was Sarah's idea. She wanted to make the Art Walk a little more, a little bit bigger of an event. And we really wanted to get people to see how important it is to shop local and keep our money local. And once it goes off island, it doesn't usually come back. So it gives all the shops a great opportunity to get together and collectively give the town something to come out for and
celebrate.
Yeah,
I would love to talk more about that aspect. Over the last, I don't know when Amazon became popular, but over the last few years, Amazon has become major for rural communities. And that's made it even harder to shop locally when you have this temptation of getting these deals delivered to your door. So what is the importance of continuing to shop locally?
Well, I would say one really good reason is the money that's spent in Kodiak usually stays in Kodiak. So if you spend money at a local shop, that shop owner will take that money and spend it on advertising, spend it on you know, other products that they get locally. And then, of course, their tax dollars as well stay in the community and help pay for things that we as a community use. Another reason also for shopping local is instant gratification. You can walk into a store, feel and touch a product, and bring it home with you that day.
I think another important thing, I just had a customer come in about a month ago, and she had purchased something online and they were a lot less expensive, and she got them in and the quality was terrible, and she installed them and they broke, and she called the company and they said, well, package them up and send them back, and you know, we'll see about getting you a partial refund. And she came into the shop and ordered they were blinds, ordered blinds from us, and Casey came and installed them, and she had one little problem and he went right back and fixed them. And I think when you buy local, you know that the service is there to back it. And if there's a problem, we're here to fix it. And I think that goes for a lot of stuff and businesses in town, that the customer service is unlike anything you're going to get from Amazon. Because I don't know if you've ever tried to get a hold of them, but they're pretty hard to get a hold of. So
Yeah, and there are just some services that you need to do locally, like mm-hmm. haircuts or getting something framed, like something that you really value. I interned for a photographer, and framing is actually really challenging. Like, you have to get the specs off the glass, and that's a service you kind of have to learn to do if you really value it. And also getting your bike fixed. For instance, I just got fenders on my bike, and I got some really cheap Amazon options. Did not work out. I had to go to the bike shop.
Yeah, my dad has always said quality over quantity, and it's so true. We see that on a lot of things that the Coast Guard actually, we're so thankful of the Coast Guard here. The Coast Guard will come in, and it's just great to see them be a part of this community and appreciate what we have as a small island. And I would hate to see the little shops die off further than they have. We had a huge amount of shops downtown close off when Walmart moved in. And I know there's some controversy there. Some people think it wasn't Walmart, but as one of those shops, I saw it happen, and it happened pretty fast. And shopping local is going to keep that from happening. And it hurts everyone when people shop offline. And I know we all do it, but it's so important to support your local economy and as much you can, and be a part of keeping business here and keeping the shops open.
How will this upcoming event help us toward that goal?
Sarah?
Well, we're, as a group of business owners, we talked about that, and we wanted to make it as easy as possible for people to take, let's say, their PFD money and, you know, after work, go out and check out a few different shops, maybe some you haven't been in, which is kind of what our stamp card is trying to
encompass,
yeah. The stamp card that you're going to be able to pick up at any of the participating businesses is trying to encourage people to go into multiple shops so that they can kind of see, you know, you can drive from work to home to Safeway and kind of just get on that in your own rut and pass by places like at the frame shop that you've never been in. And this will just encourage people to you know, go into some shops that they may not have gone into before. And the sales hopefully will encourage people and help people to spend their money with us. And I think Alex's point of customer service is definitely a big part of shopping local. And this will help us provide you with that, well, allow you to see that good customer service we can give you.
I've heard a lot of people talk about early Christmas shopping, which is kind of exciting. I think a lot of people wait until Black Friday, and this will be a early kickstart to that. And the punch card is nice because we made it so that you don't have to purchase something to be able to get your stamps. As long as you come in and take a look around and collect your stamps, you can drop it in any participating business's box. And Saturday, the next day, each business is going to draw a winner and have their own prize for you to pick up at that location. And we just wanted that so that people would, like Sarah said, get into places you maybe haven't seen and look around, get some ideas for Christmas or upcoming birthdays, stuff like that.
So what are the hours of the event?
Tentatively, depending on when businesses want to open, about 10 to 9 on Friday, and then about 10 to 7 on Saturday. So some later hours to get people that are busy from work past that time and able to come out and relax and shop leisurely late at night, which we don't often get to do here.
No. That is one of the byproducts of small businesses, is we all have to have at least a day off, you know, so that we can do our own things. So sometimes it's hard for us to stay open late, but we're doing this for our customers and hoping it's going to be something we can try in the future if it goes well too.
I think we all as businesses also would take any recommendations on things that people would like to have for the holiday season, or I think it's a good time for customers to reach out to the businesses and say, hey, why don't you get this in, or give us some ideas that we might not have, and let us have more of what people want so that they don't have to go online. I know a few shops are really great at that, and I always appreciate it.
Same here.
That was Sarah Culbertson from The Frame Shop and Alex Turner from Alexandra's Salon. And so now we're transitioning over to talk with some people from Teen Court. Andrew Ott is helping guide the young lawyers and attorneys. Andrew, why don't you go ahead and introduce what Teen Court is all about?
Sure. Thank you. It is a diversionary panel under the Alaska statutes that allows youth to deal with youth offenders and juvenile offenders for minor in possession, for theft, for misdemeanor crimes, and up to some violations. And this is a unique youth court program in the sense that we only have 11 of them in the state, and we're one of them. And we've been around since 1995, and so it's been a program that's been thriving. We're now in our recruitment month for October for classes that start for newbies, anybody who is interested in the program, starting in November. And it's a 10-week course, and the students will get an elective credit, actually a social studies credit for completing the class and being sworn as attorneys. And so we're recruiting 8th graders all the way through 12th grade, if we can. We find that mainly we get 8th and 9th graders, not many of the upperclassmen, just because they're focused, busy on doing different things. But what they learn in class is they learn about the introduction of law in general, criminal law particularly, and criminal procedure. And they get to have some guest lecturers, including a couple of police officers doing demonstrations of portable breath tests and what it means to be intoxicated. We have district attorneys, juvenile justice show up, and as well as a public defender show up and do some classes there. So it's an interesting program. And I'd like to introduce to you a couple of other members of the Teen Court program. There are Karen Buchanan and Derek Ruchelow. Yes, I know I butchered your last name. It's the German in me. Karen, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself and what position you hold?
Okay. Hi. So I'm Karen, and I am the current president of our local board of directors in Teen Court, as well as the president of the statewide United Youth Courts of Alaska board of directors, which means all of those 11 youth courts come together every month and have a meeting, and I'm the president of that. So that's what I do. And then also I'm currently a judge on cases. When we have cases come up, I act as a judge on those. Yeah.
I'm Derek Ruchelow, and I am a member of the local board as well as a member of the Bar Association, which any Teen Court member who passes the bar exam is a member of the Bar Association, so it's nothing too special, but hey. I also work as an attorney. I have worked prosecution, defense, all those. I'm not quite a judge yet, but who knows? Maybe I'll get there in the future.
Could you talk a little bit about the role of Teen Court and how much power it holds?
I'll start. Okay. So I think it's, especially in our community, it's very important that we have a youth court, just because there's an element of positive peer pressure that comes in that you can't necessarily get from the federal court system. And as well as that, we, in Teen Court, we focus more on restorative justice, which means we try to focus on individual cases instead of the punishment for the crime. And I think that's very beneficial to help, you know, individual people instead of a group. And that way they don't come back and reoffend in the future. So I think it's very helpful and powerful in that way.
And it's also nice for the teen offenders because I apologize if someone else mentioned this, but it doesn't go on the permanent record. So the juvenile doesn't have to worry about it coming up in future employment opportunities or college offers or things of that sort. And it also helps a lot because, as I view it, teenagers have a much better time working with teenagers than they do with adults. If a teenager breaks a law, they'll be able to operate much better with someone who is their own age, who can understand all the things that they're going through, as opposed to some 30-year-old who comes in and says, hey, I'm here to help you because the government says so.
You're really kind.
Could you talk a little bit about some of the cases that you've seen, the type of cases, like mm-hmm. what kind of, what the offense mm-hmm. was that the kids were in there for?
Yeah, so we have a lot of, I would say most of our cases are MIPs, which are minor in possession of alcohol or controlled substances, and those are, yeah, and then we have theft cases occasionally, I believe, so those are the main ones I can think of. Do you?
Yeah, that's mainly it. A lot of the kids here, what they're most exposed to are controlled substances. So, I mean, that's just what they get involved with more than anything else.
All right, and how would you define that?
For me, it's, if I'm understanding you correctly, it's just there's so much of it here. All the teens, because the way I view it, not a lot else. So a lot of them resort to these types of illegal activities, such as drinking or smoking, things like that. And since there's so much of it, that's really all that they can go to, and it's much of what they know.
When we say controlled substance, what are we?
Oh,
what substances
that's
are we
what
talking
you
about?
Mean. I apologize. So that would be things such as marijuana, alcohol, other illegal drugs. I haven't personally dealt with anything such as like coke or heroin, but there have been lots of marijuana cases as well as alcohol.
Andrew, what does happen if a teen or a minor is discovered to have something like meth? Do they go to teen court or?
No, usually they are referred to Division of Juvenile Justice, and then from there they will be determined whether or not they'll be available for teen court or whether or not they'll have to go through the formal process of the state court system.
Okay, and is that because marijuana is legal?
It's because it's a lower level offense, that's correct. A controlled substance in fourth degree possession is now a misdemeanor, but it may be a serious enough issue that the DJJ may want to come in and say, we want to have a little bit more control of this and make sure that the person gets the help that it needs. Now, if it does get deferred to youth court, to Kodiak Teen Court, we can provide the sentencing structure that the state court system cannot provide, which is we may refer the defendant to,
Parenting with Love and Limits.
Parenting with Love and Limits, which is something that's not always accessible with the state court system. And so that's something that may even help alleviate the problem long term.
And so, okay, so you see people who have had issues with drugs and alcohol. Mm-hmm. And what was another possible offense you mentioned?
There's also theft. I've seen a few theft cases. And then, I don't know, are vandalism cases
separate?
We get
vandalism cases, yeah. Too. Criminal mischief.
Yeah, criminal mischief, generally.
What kind of theft is common in the community for teens to commit?
That would be probably just from like Walmart or Safeway, things like that. Most of the theft, I believe, occurs in that area.
Yeah, there are several different kinds of cases. One is that some teen will steal something from another youth, a bike or a skateboard or something of that nature. Maybe in this day and age, a cell phone. That has happened. Then other things that may occur would be stealing from stores. Sometimes we actually had a case one time where someone was stealing food, and we found out that there was no food at home, and they were doing this out of necessity, and the defense had brought that out. And so it was really something that was that needed to be addressed at a parental level versus the defendant level. That was rather interesting. But those are the kinds of cases we get.
So could you talk a little bit about the training that you provide to to the students who become involved?
Right. Many of the students have no idea what a court looks like, what the process is like. I mean, sometimes they watch TV and see it on Law and Order, but it's really a truncated version of what actually goes on. So we introduce them to the law, what it is, and try to identify what they think is right and wrong in a very simple manner. And then I work them through a variety of criminal law statutes, and then we walk through the Constitution and the First Amendments, and we kind of go through all those sorts of things. And then we get to a level where we begin to see them exposed to reality. How does this manifest itself in the communities when we see something with an MIP or an MCA, and the police come in and they describe what they see? And that's why we have different guest speakers coming in, because they can come in from a different level. And then the biggest thing, I think the hurdle for most of the students, is this public speaking, because we do use Judge Cole's courtroom for the hearings. We actually practice there doing mock hearings so that they have an idea as to what they are required to do, how they're supposed to say it, who they're supposed to address, and so on, which is a real big deal for somebody who's in the eighth grade and has never done this before. So it's an overwhelming experience as to civics, basically, and which I understand just the school district has finally picked up again, which is good, but we take it a step further.
So it looks like we just have a couple of minutes left. Could you guys tell us what is the most rewarding thing about teen court for you?
For me, I believe, I think it's a really redeeming feeling to know that you're helping someone. And obviously you see that more clearly if you're on the defense side of things. But any time you're participating in teen court, on the lawyer side, you can see how you're benefiting these kids that are your age, that you're helping, so they, people that you might know. And also, I feel like in my experience in teen court, I've grown a lot more confident with myself, and I've learned how to share my opinions more concisely, which can be very useful in my life as I go on.
I definitely second what Karin says about the helping feeling. It means a lot to know that you're making a difference in someone's life, as well as the kind of confidence and public speaking skills it awards you. A little bit less, I really can't think of the word for it, but it looks great on college applications as well as job applications, so hey.
Yeah, I mean, that's important. That's something to consider. How are you preparing yourself for the next stage of your life? What are the various benefits? Even if it means buffering up your resume a little bit, that's a legitimate point. So how do you get in contact with Teen Court?
Well, they can contact 486-603-350. That's the local number. And then also they can go on the webpage. We have our own webpage now, kodiakteencourt.org. And you can pose questions there and show some interest in the program. We also have a Facebook page, so they can get through contact through that as well. We will be doing some presentations to the middle school as well as the local private schools as well in the coming weeks. So we hopefully will get some interest that way as well.